Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
A radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am here.
All right. How have you been this past week, sir, since we last talked?
Ups and downs, but
yeah,
we're here. So.
Yeah, we're here. I got a burnt lip from biting into a jalapeno sausage. The freaking juice from the freaking sausage just sprayed my upper lip, so I have that to deal with. But hey, we're here, and it's been a while since we've done one of these shows. I think it's been October of last year when we did Domain of the Damned. But yeah, we do something again. If we have any new listeners, we do something called a review from the Boneyard. It's where we look back and give a look and review, overall just a show dedicated to a film that is rather hard to find and very scarce. The very first one we did was High School Ghost Hustlers, and I still have not found another copy of that. You know, every now and then I look on eBay to see if I can find another one. I can't. I mean, I think there's still a few on Amazon that's super expensive. But yeah, that was the very first inaugural one, and that was something. I still have to get you to see that somehow, Ian. You need to see that in your life. But yeah, we have another film here that again we do these shows with and just talk about it and go into detail and everything like that. Called Welcome to Deer Creek is a little 2009 film, and we'll get into that here in a second. But there is one bit of news we kind of need to, you know, just get out, you know, get off the top of the pile and get it out of the way. And we did bring this up and kind of discuss it last week, but it's been official now. Like as soon, I think it was like a couple days right after we did the show, like they announced it. But we talked about how, you know, I think people will go see a, you know, like a long version of It. You know, we said like, if they go out and see in droves to see Avengers Endgame for 3 hours, they can do it for It Chapter 2, and they did. It's going to be 2 hours and 45 minutes, and there's also in talks from Andy, director's cut, so it's going to be even longer, so we'll see how that turns out when it gets, again, got to wait a while for that director's cut on DVD, so because the movie's not even out yet. But yeah, Ian, what's your thoughts on the 2 hour and 45 minute runtime of It Chapter 2?
I can't believe that it's going to be, you know, a little more than 2.5 hours, in which we, you know, said that we were going to, it was going to be around 3 hour mark. I think that was kind of, you know, neat that we, you know, kind of put the nail in that.
Yeah, I mean, I assume because there's a lot of stuff they have to do with with this chapter, because you got to get the adults, you got to get the some of the flashbacks, and then you got all kinds of stuff. Yeah, well, we'll see. I know they have the tongue biting scene in there. I don't know about the orgy. We'll see. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff. It's going to be darker. Like I said, it has to be darker. And just again, it's a long runtime. I mean, Midsummer was 2 hours and 25 minutes somewhere in there. And this is the exact same runtime as Once Upon a Time in Hollywood now, because that movie, you know, it's out currently. Quentin Tarantino, his films are usually long. And you know, it's 2 hours and 45 as well. So we're gonna be in for a trip. I will say that much. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of shit, you know, Andy Muscinetti does.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's
well,
like,
I
again,
mean,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, you know, the plus, you know, with the director's cut, I'm curious of like what's going to be on that, because if there is going to be one, you know, and I'm wondering what that runtime's going to be. That's going to be pretty interesting. So I'm already looking forward to a possible DVD release of that. So.
Yeah. Just go ahead and everything, director's cut's going to be 3 hours. Just everything, every horror director out there, just have a director's cut of 3 hours. Midsummer is going to be 3 hours. It Chapter 2, probably going to be 3 hours. Director's cut. It's just like, just make it as long as, put all the deleted scenes back in there. Fuck it. I mean, we're supposed to have a special edition of It Chapter 1 with the deleted scenes put back in it, but we never, it'll probably come out here soon, maybe. I don't know. Because that was supposed to be a thing, too. And then, like, well, finally we got The Evil Dead with all the deleted scenes put back into, well, it was a foreign release because I think it came out in China or Japan. And it's the only way you can get it officially on Blu-ray, that cut, because it's still not released in America, I don't think. I don't know. But it's stupid. some things. But, yeah, we don't have long to wait. We got about a month. And count down for It Chapter 2. And then, of course, we'll have our co-review and everything the week after. All right. So that's technically all the news, like all the main news, because when we do the review from Boneyards, as mentioned, we take the remainder of the show and just dedicate it to the film. And that's what we're going to do, because we're going to go into details about everything in this film has to offer, spoilers, just basically everything. So yeah, Welcome to Deer Creek is a 2009 zombie film from Jim Roberts, written, produced, and directed by Jim Roberts. He also stars in it. He's the lead character of Jake. He's Jake, and it's from Blind Sight Productions. Now, here's the thing: this film is fucking scarce. And again, there's not even an IMDb page for this film. I don't even think you can find it. The only thing you can find.
I think I did.
Did you find one? Because I
looked it up, and because I was curious about the runtime, because when you sent me that, like, you know, I looked at it and then I forgot about it because I woke up. And I woke up late and I was like, oh shit, how long do I have? So I looked it up real fast. But yeah, it was really hard to find a page because there was another movie that was just Deer Creek Trail or something like that. But yeah, no, I don't think it was an IMDb page, but it was like another movie page. It was
maybe like
a
Letterboxd or something.
Yeah, it took me like 20 minutes to find it.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's near impossible, and you can go on there and you can look up Welcome to Deer Creek, Jim Roberts, like, you know, when I was trying to, like, do more information on it myself, and you'll find, like, maybe one or two other, like, really technically I only found one other review of this on another website, and it was very short, to the point review, just talking about, the film. It wasn't in-depth or anything like we're going to do. And I figured this film needs to be, you know, it's not out there, you know. This film is not out there. You can't even find this anywhere. And I'm happy to own a copy of it. I'm happy to share it with Ian because he wouldn't have had it, you know, he wouldn't have been able to watch it otherwise because it's just so scarce and hard to find.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of sucks for this. And, I mean, it is an indie zombie film. And like I said, I usually, you know, anything zombie, I'm always going to buy for my collection. And I'm pleasantly surprised with this one up front because for their budget and their limitations that Jim had on this film, he managed to put a lot into it. There's a lot going on in this one with practical effects.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you don't get that even with, like, new releases, with, like, bigger stuff. You know, there's that newer one, Deadsight, with the guy that's, I mean, I don't want to get into it, but, like, there's Deadsight, and that film kind of sucked, you know, honestly. It had an okay premise, but it kind of sucked. And then, like, all the other stuff, you know, even The Dead Don't Die. I mean, this one's way better than that. And it's just, like, this film... You know, it's lost in obscurity because how many people know about Welcome to Deer Creek? You have to really, really search for it and put your mind to it to find something like this, like how I was with High School Ghost Hustlers. You just, it just randomly shows up, and then, like, I need that.
Yeah.
Ian, you were going to say something?
I was going to say one. I was looking it up, and you can find a synopsis on Fandango. But other than that, I was actually pretty pleasantly surprised with how well it was for a zombie movie. Not going to lie, I had very low expectations because, you know, there's only been a few... Indie zombie movies that we've reviewed that were actually, like, pretty good. And honestly, for the budget, the camera angle the way it was shot wasn't necessarily the best, but I kind of liked it for what it was. There was some audio issues I had, but other than that, I mean, the script wasn't the worst. And there was, like, honestly, I didn't hate myself after I watched it either. I mean, I honestly thought it was a pretty decent zombie movie, and I honestly would probably watch it again, and I would love to see what else they have put out, because they put so much heart into this. Like,
yeah,
it felt like it was a fun project, but I felt like they put, like, a lot of care to it.
Yeah, I looked up Jim Roberts, and he, you know, and Blindside Productions, and there's some other films that he did. I know there's one called Happy Hour Holocaust. It's an anthology film. His stuff is, like, super hard to find. I don't even think that has, like, a physical release. I think it's just, like, a screener. There's like Tonight You Die, I believe, is his other film. And I wasn't able to find hardly anything on that. So his stuff is kind of pretty insane and impossible to find. And again, luck of the draw, you just have to be on eBay at the right time, and then you're able to land the most amazing stuff. And that's how it was with Welcome to Deer Creek. I was like, just randomly, boom, there it was. And I was like, that's mine. And it cost me a little bit, but I'm not going to say it wasn't worth it, because – how often, you know, that's a highlight in your collection right there. But let's get into the film, because that's the whole reason for this show. So Welcome to Deer Creek, 2009. It starts out with the mayor and I believe she's a prostitute, or, well, they call her a lot lizard, so it's the same thing. And he's in his truck, and he making all, you know, like, he wants a little bit of sugar from the girl, the lot lizard, and a little boy is playing with a ball, bouncy ball. It goes out to the middle of the road, and the mayor just runs over the kid. And that's one thing, like, the very first two things in this film is violence towards children. And, like, that already got me hooked as soon as the film started. The very two things, violent acts, is, like, towards kids. Like, all right, you got me. You got me hooked. And this isn't just, like, a little, you know, like, of course the kid got hit. But they actually go through with when they show the aftermath of the kid, and there's, like, guts hanging off to the side. And, like, he's covered in blood. There's a little bit of intestines off to the side. And, of course, the mother's all hysterics, and she knows that, you know she's up in arms. And then it shows news clippings of the mayor basically getting out of the crime of running over the kid, and the mother commits suicide, and it leaves a husband, and we'll get into that here a little bit later. Then we're introduced to Jake, our central character, and it's the upcoming corn festival. And his uncle is the one that, like, technically, like, tends to the corn crops, along with Keith, who is the father and the one who lost his family from the whole mayor incident. And he's trying to deal with it. Jake is going. He works at the stables with his friend Michael, and they just, you know, clean the horse stables. And he is going to be taking out this one girl to the corn festival. Anyway, his uncle Mark. Uncle Mark is, Jake's uncle Mark, is the one that works with Keith to work with the cornfield. And they're tearing down this barn, and they find barrels of biohazard waste, or just toxic waste. And Mark gives them to Keith, and Keith puts them in the back of his truck and then proceeds to drive to the fields, the airplane fields, to use the waste on the corn, basically. And then we have our corn festival. This is a year later. I don't know if I made that clear or not. So we have, they go to the cornfield, and then it's basically the festival is right. It's a very short movie. It's like 82 minutes, so it's a very to the point movie, and not a lot to really go into right yet. But they have the corn festival. Everyone's eating corn, and Jake meets up with the girl that he's going to take there, and everyone's having fun. The mayor does a speech saying, "Vote for me again in the upcoming election." And then we kind of figure out, again, they lead on a little bit early to, who's driving. And the lady, the lot lizard, who was also with the mayor, she's missing. And so they're trying to find her, but then they're not really looking for her, but because she's tied up in this shed. And you kind of leave off to, like, you don't know who it is, but they kind of give it away that it is Keith. And it's basically he's getting retribution. Minor spoiler, but we said spoiler warning. He's getting retribution on the mayor and the girl. He's not going to leave everyone alone, because this is a whole town he's dealing with, because he did use the waste on the cornfields. And so the people start eating the corn, and sooner or later they start to act, they start vomiting and getting sick, and they turn into zombies. And that's, where the rest of the film takes place, where we have Keith going to get retribution on the mayor, on the lady of the night that was with the mayor, who was there when his kid got ran over and caused his wife to commit suicide. We have, just inhabitants of the town, running around getting attacked by zombies. We have the mayor, who is being, of course, chased by Keith. We have Jake and the girl, because the girl he was with ate corn and she threw up in his car, and she gets sick. And, so it's just a bunch of, crazy things after that, because it's a very easy setup to what basically happens in the last final act of this movie. Before we get into that final act, Ian, anything you want to say so far?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly thought the zombies, when they started to turn and everything, I thought that was pretty, you know, I thought it was like a really neat idea, you know, like all these people are turning in at once, because usually you just see the aftermath of people, you know, had already turned, and maybe like one or two people, but I liked how they showed like how everybody was doing it, and that right there like drew me in even more. And let's finish up the thing, because I can probably just ramble on about this movie.
Yeah, we'll ramble on. So I'll finish this up real quick, then we'll get into our thoughts and, you know, overall opinions. So anyway, people are turning into zombies, and it's up to basically a handful of people who aren't infected, who basically didn't eat the corn. And that was Jake, Michael, one of their black friends, because his wife got turned. And then, of course, Keith and the mayor. And it's just, sort of like a cat and mouse a little bit, because they just go from situation to situation. Because as you said, as I mentioned before, Keith has unfinished business with the mayor, and he's going to get, you know, again, retribution. Jake and Michael, they're, you know, he's working, you know, at the stable. He goes to the stable, and it's just him and Michael trying to run back and forth, figuring out what's going on. They call their uncle, his Uncle Mark again. Uncle Mark comes, they all join forces, and they run to one of the houses. And then that's where they fight off more zombies in very, violent and gory ways. Like I said, the practical effects for this is pretty damn good. And then we get the reveal, as I already mentioned, but Keith is, wanting retribution, and it's not technically, of course, Uncle Mark is like saying, well, why don't you just get it with the mayor and the lady, because he did it. And like, yeah, but everyone else forgot about it, and I didn't. And the whole town kind of must be punished for what they did to my family. And that's the whole reason that he, used the waste on the crops, on the corn. And because everyone turned, a blind eye. And here he is, no child, no wife, and he's taking it on to himself to basically destroy the whole town for they wronged him, they done him dirty, and that's technically the whole point of the movie. Various characters, they get attacked, some of them get bitten, some of them die, and then it's just all out war at the house that they're in. They just, knives, beheading, like stuff to the throat, impalements. There's a chainsaw dismemberment that goes through. And there's like two of them, I believe. There's one that's on top of Michael, and then there's another one that he uses up, splits down the middle, and it goes through the wall. There's a deer antlers through the throat and up through the mouth. There's just like all these little inventive, interesting kills, and very bloody, very bloody. And just like, again, people getting dismembered, zombies attacking people, getting, biting. And then, I don't really want to give too much away, but I'm just saying it all culminates to the house. The only way to get out of the house is to, because the zombies are attracted to sound. And honestly, I don't think, because they're not really technically, like infected zombies. They're just turned, because Jake does get bit on his arm, and he doesn't really turn at all. And it's just, it's not really full on. You're becoming a zombie once you get bit. So it's kind of, at least I don't think so, because I don't think he lived enough, because he didn't. It wasn't one of those automatic turns. It was just, I don't think he turned at all towards once the end happens. And so it's just, again, them trying to, the last couple people trying to survive this zombie infected outbreak caused by the waste. And it just that's basically the plot of the movie. Basically everything really goes down, because again, it's very to the point, and like the last half act is just full on zombie battles. That's they're getting attacked at the barn stables, this house, the park, mayor, his house, and they go to this other house. I believe it's Jake's house, and they just get attacked zombie after zombie after zombie, and it's just like full on, you know, like 56 minutes, I believe, is just like a little bit more, maybe like 40, at least 45 minutes is just here, you know, again, a little bit of story, a little bit of here and a little bit of there. And then the last half act is just full on attacks. And that's basically it. That's Welcome to Deer Creek. And it's a fun, short watch. And there's a lot of stuff to it. And like I said, Jim really, I mean, I think I had a few minor quips with like some of the, but again, it is low budget. I mean, some of the acting was a little bit not that great, especially when it came to like Uncle Mark. He was like the one that was like, you could have delivered that line a little bit more convincing, because like once the realization of Keith and what he did, he's like, how could you do that, Keith, or something like that. It was just like kind of like no conviction to it, and like how could you do that, Keith, something like that. It was just like muddled in a little bit in the performance. But yeah, it's like just a lot of interesting little kills here and there, and the used, and it's just, you know, it's a little fun little watch. It's nothing out there great, but for other zombie films, especially like more current ones today, and this one's just lost in the shuffle.
God.
And it's just like there's like so much to this one that has to offer. Like you said, like a lot of heart and dedication went into this. And again, I don't know how old Jim was, because he looked, again, this is 2009.
He looked like he was 15.
Yeah, he does look like he's young. But he has to be like at least, you know, like, again, I don't know. He looks late teens, early 20s at least. And to have that kind of, you know, crazy, you know, not really a crazy idea, but just to put, that kind of production in general. Because, there's a lot of, you know, like it is, it's like it's not handheld. It's not. It looks decent for what it is. It's a low-budget production. But as Ian said, the budget wasn't really a minor, you know, the budget looked fine for what it was, because he managed to do so much and just, like, a lot of practical effects and just, like, so much,
and,
you know, like, gore and here and there and blood. But go ahead, Ian. I'll let you talk for a while.
I was going to say world building. Like, they... You know, we got the festival. We got the, you know, the mayor's house. You had different houses, different town, like, you know, different buildings. And they literally went through this town. And I was so impressed by that. By, like, how, you know, this was such a low budget. Because usually, you know, they stick to, like, one or two places. But they actually, like, went out and went places. And plus, like, how many zombies they had, and like how many different, you know, people. And I like that they had a lot of older people in this too. And he like, I was in awe of this because of like just the low budget, and how well he took that budget and built this movie and made, like, honestly, the pacing wasn't bad. I didn't think the pacing was too bad. Some parts did kind of drag on, but not, like, way too long. But, you know, for an hour and 20 minutes, he really got a lot in there, a lot done. It was, you know, the script, yeah, you know, I felt the same thing, too. I was like, the acting,
I mean, it's
an
average script. I mean, it's a waste. You know, toxic waste, toxic whatever, you know, radioactive material on something. You know, it's been done numerous times. It's nothing new.
Yeah.
But he managed to make it interesting with the Corn Festival.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, it's not like not redneck zombies and they just used the radioactive waste, you know, as moonshine. I mean, there's been numerous films where they do that exact same thing. There's been like Blood Orgy, Beaver Lake, and then there's of course Redneck Zombies, and then Gut Munchers is another zombie movie that's exactly like Redneck Zombies. So it's been done to death. But he managed to take something that's been done to death and use it for, you know, a different spin, you know, on the Corn Festival, and, you know, infected corn and made people, you know, turn into ravenous attacking zombies. And the zombie makeups looked good. The gore was right on point. They're just like, and then like towards the end when the house is on fire and like, they actually set fire to the house, or, you know, because I'm assuming the very last shot was a miniature. But there's like the parts where it's like inside the house, where I was like saying, "Are they really burning furniture?" Because it looked interesting there. Like it could have been like an old shed that they made up to look like a house. But there's like it was really convincing. Like, are they really burning, setting fire to people inside the house? It's really cool. And yeah, it was just it's a fun. Like you said, it's not the greatest, but for what it is and what it achieves it perfectly. And like I said, there's so many other zombie films out there, especially, you know, even with like almost around the same budget as this, that are like terrible, right? They're like,
yeah.
I'm going back to like Blood, you know, Blood Orgy of Beaver Lake, and or just Blood, what was it? Detroit Blood City, or just like the Beaver Lake films in general. They're like, those aren't really that great. You know, but he managed to do so much with this little film and just this project and just, like, you know, put it out all on screen. And I wish his other projects were available, you know, Tonight You Die Happy Hour Holocaust. Yeah, I mean, I wish this one had a more wider release. I really do, because I think for zombie aficionados, this is a one you would want to check out. And I'm happy to have, like I said, I'm happy to have the possibility of finding this, you know, very hard to find gem. I wouldn't say a gem, but it's definitely a hidden gem in its own right. You know, and just share it with everyone on the show, and especially Ian, because Ian probably would have never even heard of this thing if it wasn't for me.
A lot
of people probably would.
The
joy of the Boneyard reviews. Yeah,
that's why I enjoy doing the show, you know. I mean, I'm still, quote-unquote, new to the genre. I mean, you know, because there's just so many old classics I haven't seen and, you know, newer movies. And this is what I love. Like, I love finding these movies, and because I have always had, a thing for movies. And that's why, you know, what I was saying earlier, just this movie gets so much. And I feel like if he had a better budget, this movie would have been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
If he could get, and that's what I was, you know, I was just amazed by like what these people can do with such, you know, limited budget. And honestly, like, I feel like this movie could definitely be one of those, like, this is what you should, you know, strive to achieve, you know, a decent pacing, you know, you got a script that's, you know, that's kind of like always has been done before, but, you know, at least he tried to do it in a different way. And, you know, that goes back to what we were talking about, the remakes, how, you know, take the same script and, you know, change it up enough to where it's unrecognizable. But you can just, you know, like, oh, here's a nod to this and here's a nod to that. But at least they, you know, they had fun. And
yeah, and that's the one thing. It kind of harkens back to, like, the shot on video boom a little bit, because it is technically a little bit shot on video with a handheld camera and everything in a few scenes. But it's just like you go back and you find just, like, again, the shot on video stuff, like something, again, it's cheesy as it is, like Zombie Bloodbath or something like Cannibal Campout. You know, just like harkens back to like just to those crazy what's this, you know, of the 80s and 90s shot on video stuff. And it's just like I think it's like sort of like a love letter in a sense, even though it doesn't show it. I'm pretty sure he just wanted to make a fun zombie movie. But I'm sure there's had to be some films that, you know, inspired him. And I'm assuming, you know, those early films of, you know, shot on video, like the Tim Ritter stuff or, you know, Todd Sheets films, and it has one of those that you would just like, you would find and like you would want people to watch it, you know, like you have to see this, you know, some of them, that's how you get cult films, you know, like Rock and Roll Nightmare, like, oh my God, you have to see this fucking movie, it's fucking bizarre and off the wall and so bad. And this one is like one of those that you'd find and it'd be amazing, you know, and this is one you like, dude, that movie was awesome. You need to watch it just for, like, you know, it has its problems, like we mentioned, but it still manages to keep a good tone and just a fun pacing. And the whole last act is totally worth the price of admission. And just to see all the practical effects, the zombie attacks, the gore, there's a good, you know, like I said, there's like chainsaw scenes, deer antler scenes. There's like a dismembered head that's outside the mayor's office, and then there's the one with the scene with like that's just like fucking all rotted. But it's like tongue out and drooping. You know, it's like melting in a sense. So there's like so many interesting little tidbits here, and you're just like, I'm amazed he did. You know, it's just a feat. Like, he managed to do that on whatever budget it was. And it's cool. It's a cool little movie. I do wish, you know, somehow this would get a wide release, but I guess it's lost in obscurity at the moment. And because, you know, again, you can barely find the damn thing. And, you know, I'm happy to, you know, for those interested, I do have a way to watch it. Because I managed to get it to Ian. So for those who might want to check this out, just message our Facebook page, Horror Not Oasis, and I'll provide you a link, because that's the only way to get it now.
Yeah.
is through me. As weird as that is. But that's honestly, that's going to have to do, you know, that's until he gets an anniversary edition, because it's been, what, 10 years now. So they're, you know, it could be a 10-year anniversary release of the film on Blu-ray, maybe. Who knows? But, yeah. What? Anything you've got to say, Ian?
Yeah.
Ian?
Well.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Oh, sorry. I accidentally hit mute. But, no, you know, like, I can't wait, you know, if we can, you know, find any of his movies. I'm going to actually, like, even if I have to go to, like, Pirate's Bay, I'll see if I can find any of his other movies, because I really want to see them. Because, you know, if he put this much passion into this, I can't wait to see what he has done, you know, later on. And, oh, it's going to be great, because I'm actually like really like pumped and excited. I always get like this when I see a movie that, like, honestly, it kind of inspired me, because it's like, you know, we see all these movies that are low, really low budget. These people don't have hardly any money. And it's like, if you want to make a movie and you don't know where to start, this would be a good movie to kind of give you an idea of how to do it. And like, this definitely would be a movie I would probably, you know, show to a film class if I'm like, here, if you want to know, have something, this is what, you know, you should strive for what your budget is. It's got great effects. It's got a great story and world building. It's got, you know, yeah, the script is kind of lacking, but, you know, it's to be expected when you can't afford, like, professional writers, and you don't have, like, 20, 30 writers on your team. So, but yeah.
But yeah, he managed to do a lot for a little, and that's one thing we, you know, you have to give props. I mean, as I said, it's like, again, harkens back to the early days of shot on video, or just like finding just that weird random gem that you have to share and get people to talk about. And this is one of those, you know, it's like I said, not perfect, as we said before, but it's definitely a fun time. It's definitely one of those where you just, as Ian said, get a bunch of people and just like watch a fun little zombie movie. It's not a zombie movie you're going to hate yourself watching, like Dead Don't Die, or anything like, even some of the newer stuff here recently where it's just god awful.
Yeah.
Like Dead Clowns or something like that, you know, just like fucking kill me now. But it's fun, and it has a heart, has a soul, and it's one of those where it has legs to run, but I think it just got its legs cut off too short for some fucking reason. I don't know what happened. Why this one is so hard to get a hold of and find. But it's just like, like as soon as it was born, you know, it's just like fucking like a chicken born to be slaughtered. You know, it's just like, boom, here you go. Now we have egg, you know, here you go, Purdue. here's a brand new chicken. You know, it's just like one of those films where it's just like, it didn't get a chance to find its footing. And it's just lost in obscurity in a sense, because again, besides our, you know, we're pretty much the only one that's went in full depth on this movie, and you know, the minor review here and there on other sites, because again, if you look up again, Welcome to Deer Creek, Jim Roberts, you'll find hardly anything except for maybe one or two things. And you can look up the trailer. The trailer is on YouTube to get you an idea, but we're the only ones that's went into full depth about the film. And that's the whole reason of the Boneyard Review, is to bring obscure, hard-to-find films to the masses. And that's Welcome to Deer Creek. It's worth it.
Or like movie Necromancers.
Yeah, you got to find it. We got to bring them back to life and get people to clamoring for, you know, indie horror, or just like those hidden gems.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, we got to get those spotlights, man, just those films that don't get, you know, no love. And that's the reason for the whole idea of this show.
A shame. And, you know, I like, that's one of the things I like about, you know, like going back to what I was saying earlier, you know, like, this is one of the reasons I love this show is because of this, you know, like, you know, of course, you know, me, you know, if it wasn't for the show, there's like a whole ton of movies I probably would have never watched. And that's just kind of sad that, you know, the average, you know, moviegoer is going to miss that, might actually enjoy this kind of stuff, who just doesn't know how to, you know, find it. And, you know, that's why I'm glad, because then I can be like, oh, well, if you like that, I, you know, I've suggested all kinds of movies now, and I feel kind of like one of the cool kids now, because that I know what I'm talking about. And this is, you know, I'm glad that we got to review this. And
well, I'm
kind of
happy I got to rescue it from obscurity, because it's like high school ghost hustlers, you know, you think it never existed.
Yeah.
You know, like the film was made. Yeah. I mean, there's stuff, but you don't know if it was actually got a release, because it was on the coming soon on the random insert of the DVD case. You bought it for a wrestling DVD, and then boom, lo and behold, there it is. And it's like, it's real.
Right.
And I'm just happy, like, yeah, I know this film exists because there's a trailer and a few reviews, so it's out there. And then all of a sudden, boom, there it is. Like, holy shit. So you got to rescue. And this is the stuff that should be, you know, restored and put out there. I mean, so all this,
really,
do we need 15 copies of Evil Dead 2? Do we need that?
No.
Do we need another fucking Ninja 3, The Domination, on a better collector's edition? No. Do we need Urban Legend again on the collector's edition? No. We need the, I mean, I'm sure collectors are out there who want that stuff, but like the true stuff is hard to find shit. But anyway, Ian, that's going to do it for the show. I think it's a great show.
Right.
I think we rescued this one, and we talked about it. As I said, if you're interested, just contact the page. we'll hook you up with a viewable source of the film. So that's going to do it for us. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next week.